Thank you. Will you guys pray with me? Father God, we need you tonight. I need you, God. I need you to speak through me. I don't have anything to say unless your Holy Spirit gives me the words and thoughts to say, God. I pray that all of our hearts and minds would be receptive to what you have to teach us today, that we would hear from you and hear from your word, and that it would actually do something in our lives and cause us to live differently. I thank you for the worship. That was amazing. I thank you for your spirit that's already here and your presence that's already here. I pray that we'd be more aware of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I grew up playing sports, as I've kind of mentioned before. Now, I wasn't that great. I was decent. I didn't have the talent to go pro in any sport that I played. How many of you played sports and just didn't have the talent to go pro or size or whatever in any sport that you played? Yeah, and you're bummed out because when you're in Little League and you're 10, 12 years old, you're like, I'm going to go pro one day. I remember coming home from a Little League baseball game telling my dad, Dad, you don't understand. I'm going to be on the Dodgers one day. Like, I am the next Mike Piazza. I am the next Raul Mondesi. You guys don't even know who these people are, huh? These are like the rookie of the years for the Dodgers in the 1990s. I know, a long time ago. But that's when I was a kid, and I loved the Dodgers. I'd go to the games and get their autographs. But I realized that I didn't have enough talent to make it that far when I was in high school. And that was a bummer for me. But as I grew up, though, I noticed something. There were some athletes that had more talent than I did, but I made it farther than they did because I worked harder than them. And then vice versa. Some athletes had less talent than I did, but they made it farther than I did because they worked even harder than I did. Have you experienced this? Somebody with less talent than you passed you up because maybe you didn't work as hard as they did? Or somebody with less talent, or somebody with more talent than you didn't do as well as you did because you worked harder than them. Have you ever seen people with all the talent in the world waste it? The fact that they have everything you could want. They're 6'5", they have all the ability, but they don't work hard. And you're like, what a shame. You just wasted all that talent. If I had your size, if I had this, if I had that arm strength, whatever it is, I'd go pro. But you wasted your talent. Isn't that a shame when we waste talent? When you see a super talented athlete not go pro, it's because he doesn't practice developing the gift God installed inside of him. And in the same way, God has installed in us a gift, a talent, if you will, called salvation, the gift of grace that comes from knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. But the Bible says that we are to work it out, to develop it, to practice it. You don't get good unless you practice and develop it. So this verse that we're going to look at talks about developing our talent of salvation, if you will, developing that gift of grace in our lives, working it out, practicing it. Because what happens if we don't work it out? What happens if we have the gift of salvation and we don't actually implement it into our daily lives? It's a waste. It's kind of useless. It doesn't mean much. See, what I want you to know today, before we even look at the verse, is this. Work out what God worked in. Work out what God worked in. Now, I wish I could take credit for this phrase, but a scholar by the name of Roger Ellsworth quoted it, and I loved it, and it's perfect, and it is a summary of this passage we're going to look at. You have to work out what God worked inside of you. Don't waste your life. Don't let life pass you by. Don't waste your talent. Be active and not passive with what God has given you. Exercise the gift of faith that you've been given. Exercise the gift of faith that you've been given. Here's why. Because people who make the most of their life are the ones who exercise the gifts that they have, who get the most out of the potential that they have, who don't waste their potential. Those are the ones who experience the most peace and satisfaction in your life. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience peace and satisfaction in my life. So that is why we cannot waste what we've been given. We cannot waste the gift of salvation that God has installed in us. We must work out what God has worked in. So let's look at the text. We're in the book of Philippians. We've been talking about Philippians. We're in chapter 2 now. We've been going through this. Larissa preached last week. It was awesome about Christ emptying himself, becoming like a servant, even though he's God. And we are to follow that. And so Paul says, in verse 12, he says, because of Christ, he says, therefore. Whenever there's a therefore in the Bible, you need to know what it's there for, right? Whenever there's a therefore, why is it there? Because he was just talking about Christ emptying himself, becoming like a servant. And then he says, therefore, my dear friends, As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to what? To work out. Continue to work out. Exercise. Go to the gym. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then finally, the last section of the verse says, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. What is run or labor? It's working out. I did not work out in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. All right, so what's going on here? Back to the first section of the passage. Therefore, my dear friends, he's saying, look, we've been talking about this. I have joy because you have joy. I have joy when the gospel is advanced. I'm in prison writing this to you, but nevertheless, I have joy because you're doing well, and you're doing well so well. I'm saying continue your obedience. Continue to do what Christ did. And what did he do? He emptied himself. He humbled himself as a servant. That's how he is saying you ought to live as well. But then he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I just want to sit here for a while. What does this mean? Basically, he's saying, in light of Christ's example of humility, of sacrifice, of servanthood, continue to do that in your life. Continue your obedience. He's essentially saying, we need to take the Christian faith seriously. That's why he says, with fear and trembling. We need to take it seriously and be reverent towards God. In awe and wonder. Basically, that fear and trembling, you could interpret it as awe and wonder. Not fear and trembling because God is mean, because God is like this judgmental God who's going to be upset with you if you sin or you mess up. No, he's a God of love. Read 1 John. His most fundamental nature of who he is love, 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 love. That's why we sing that song, Sinking Deep, because we're in the ocean of God's love. You can't help but get caught up in God's love. It's all about love. He's all about love. He is love. He's the definition of love. Love comes from God. God is love. He's not telling you yourself, work out your salvation with fear and trembling because he's some like judgmental terrorist type of God. He's a God of love. That word there, it's supposed to give you a sense of awe and wonder, like reverence. That word fear is more like a reverence, like because of who you are, God, because you're the creator of the whole universe, and because of the gift of salvation you've given me, and because of how good you are, I'm going to stand in awe of you, and I'm going to stand in wonder of you, like, wow, you are just incredible. You are amazing. We work out our salvation out of that thankfulness, out of that grateful heart that you have as you stand before the Holy of Holies, the God who is pure and holy and righteous and the creator of all. As you stand before him, you ought to have awe and wonder strike you in the pit of your soul. Otherwise, you might not be encountering the real thing, the real Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. He is saying, work out your salvation. He's not saying work for your salvation. Now, I want you to really get this because a Mormon's going to knock on your door, a Jehovah's Witness is going to knock on your door one day, and if you don't get this, they might trick you, okay? He's not saying work for your salvation. We don't work to earn our salvation. Every other religion, you climb a ladder to try to do good things, to empty yourself, to achieve a state of nirvana with Buddhism, the noble, Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, and you try to empty yourself and realize all of life is suffering, and then you reach this state of bliss called nirvana, and there you achieved happiness. All of life is suffering, they say. That is working towards something. You're trying to earn something. You're trying to achieve a state of nothingness. And what kind of goal is that? I don't know. Ask a Buddhist. But that's the goal of Buddhism, is to achieve a state of nothingness where you cease to exist after many reincarnated lives. Doesn't sound very fun to me. But hey, that's them working out what their goal is. But for us, we don't work for our salvation. We don't climb a ladder. Every other religion, you try to reach up to God. Christianity, God reaches down to you. He lifts you out of the miry pit. He puts your feet upon a rock. And he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Live in that true identity of who you are. You don't climb. He descended down to you. That's what that whole passage was about. He emptied himself, becoming like a servant. That's what he's saying. Therefore, as Christ did this, you ought to do this. Jesus came down, became a human being, took on our sin, died on a cross, resurrected again, gave you the gift of grace called salvation. And now he asks you, now that you've been given that gift of grace, work it out. Go to the gym. Go exercise. Do something with the gift I've given you. Do not let the talent be wasted. Do not sit there on the bench your whole life when you had all the ability in the world, but you refused to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You've been given a body. Now respond accordingly. Take care of it. You've been given salvation. Now respond accordingly. Take care of it. You ever see somebody? You ever live with somebody? I don't know. I've been a bachelor for a while, so I've had plenty of roommates over the years. But have you ever seen somebody who just sits on the couch and eats chips all day watching Netflix and never works out and eats cheesecake? And you're like, oh my gosh, man. Like, are you ever going to get out of this couch and do something with your life? Like, you've been given life. You've been given a functional, breathing body. Do something with it. Live. Get out of the couch and go live and do something with your one and only short life. Stop eating Doritos and watching This Is Us or whatever the new show is. I don't know. I've actually never seen it. But that's what I mean. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to waste our talent. And you definitely don't want to waste the eternal gift of salvation God has given you. Like an athlete must do something with the talent they've received, we must do something with the salvation we've been given. It's the same thing. We don't want people to say, what a shame, he wasted the salvation. He wasted the gift. The chapter before, Blake went over this a couple weeks ago, but chapter 1, verse 27 says, conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what he means by working out. He's saying, since Christ sacrificed, you too ought to sacrifice. What areas of your life need to be sacrificed for God's kingdom? What areas of your life need to be humbled and brought before the feet of Jesus and said, you know what, this belongs to you. This area of my life belongs to you. I need to submit that to you. It means a lifestyle that reflects who you really are, a child of God, in light of who God really is, a good God, a good Father. A lot of times our lives don't reflect who we are in Christ, and that's one of the most fundamental problems that we face as Christians, trying to live this Christian life, trying to follow Jesus, trying to follow the ways of Jesus, is actually remembering who we are in God. So don't let the gift of faith God gave you die from laziness, apathy, confusion, fear, insecurity. Work it out with awe and wonder. Live your life with a sense of awe and wonder for the gift you've been given. Do you realize today that you're a miracle? Have you ever thought about that? Like, I am a miracle. I did nothing to put myself on this earth. I did nothing to be born in this age, in this season. In this generation, all of a sudden I was here. I was like 3 or 4 years old and I was brought to awareness. Like, wow, I like cookies. I want to keep eating cookies. You just like have this sense of existential awareness. Like, whoa, I'm alive. Like, this is who I am. This is crazy. Like, how did I get alive? I'm just here. What was I doing before I was here? I don't know. Like, can you remember before you were born? I can't. I don't know. God gave you life. It's a gift. And not only that, he gave you eternal life if you accept Christ and if you meet Christ and experience his love. It's all a gift. It's all grace. And he asks you to work it out. Work out what God has worked in. Work out the godly and humble perspective God has given you. That perspective to see the world in awe and wonder because you see yourself in awe and wonder because you see God and awe and wonder. When you see the world that way, it opens your eyes to beauty that you've never seen. That's why sometimes when we're out there and the sun is setting, I've stood next to some of you guys and I'm like, look at this. We're overlooking all of Orange County. It's beautiful. All these people out there. We have this elevated perspective, this view. It's amazing. It's just one little glimpse, one little example of trying to see the world with awe and wonder. But see yourself that way too. Let's move on. Verse 14. Says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. At that time, the church in Philippi was complaining and arguing a lot with each other. And that, what it does is it creates dissension in the church. And so he's saying, hey, in order for you to shine like stars, you have to be united. Because the world needs to see unity in the church. And so what does he do? I love this. See the quotes right there? Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. A part of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament where the Israelites, if you know the story, were rescued out of Egypt by Moses from Egyptian slavery. They were wandering the desert, wandering the wilderness for 40 years. And they were complaining and murmuring about Moses' leadership and about him not providing for them and how they were better off in Egypt. And so he quotes that verse in Deuteronomy to say, you're just like the generation back then. You're complaining and murmuring and arguing and grumbling, and that is not representing unity in the church. And therefore, you're not going to shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. God's desire for us is the same as Paul's desire for the church in Philippi. He wants us to shine like stars. I was in Tahoe over the weekend. It's beautiful. Never been there before. One of the things I loved about it was at nighttime, there were thousands of stars that I could see that I've never seen before, brightly shining more than I've ever seen. It was incredible. And I thought to myself, I want to shine like the star that I am, because I'm a child of God, and therefore I'm a star. You're a child of God. You are a star. You are a star. You're a son or daughter of God. Shine like the star you are. And this is what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. He's saying, church in Philippi, you need to shine among the generations, among the nations around you, like the star that you are. I want to shine like the star that I am. But you know what? Oftentimes, there's things that get in the way of that. There's things that get in the way. Maybe for you, it's not grumbling or arguing like the church in Philippi. Maybe for you, it's envy, greed, lust, self-pity, apathy, or anything else that we could think of, right? And those things in my heart too, I have to let them go. I have to say, God, you must increase, I must decrease, because I need to shine like the star that I am, because I don't want to waste the gift of salvation that you've given me. And if I succumb to self-pity, if I succumb to apathy, if I succumb to envy, or whatever it is, I will not shine like you designed me to shine. Don't you want to shine like God designed you to shine? Then work out what God has worked in. Work it out, no matter what it is. Work out what God has worked in, because you know what he worked in you? He worked in you the same spirit of Christ that raised Christ from the dead. And that spirit that he worked in you, he wants you to work out so you could overcome every challenge you're facing, every obstacle you're facing, every mental hurdle you're facing, every addiction that you're facing. He wants you to work out what he worked in, and he worked in you an ability to overcome whatever you're going through tonight. Work out what God worked in. He gave you the ability to overcome whatever particular area of weakness or sin is in you right now. So tonight, what is preventing you from shining like the star that you are? What is it? And just know that God installed something in you when you accepted Christ. He installed something in you that has the ability to overcome that right here, right now. Verse 16, second part of verse 16 says, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He's basically saying, look, we're united in this battle. We're all in this together. Like, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I'm sacrificing my life. I'm giving up my life. I'm in chains right now writing this letter to you. Know that the suffering you're going through, I'm going through it too, and we're in this together. Isn't it better to know that, hey, I'm on this journey, but other people are on this journey too? You're not alone. No matter what you're going through, I guarantee you somebody else in here is going through the same thing. You're not alone. That's why it's so important for him that they be united, because there's strength in unity. And unity affects testimony, and they can't shine like the stars that they are without unity. Unity affects testimony. And the testimony of the church needs to be one that shines so other people see the light that the church has. And you, as a part of the church, as a microcosm of the greater church around the world, you must shine as well, so people and the nations and people in your classes and people in your schools and workplaces, they will see the light in your heart, and they will glorify God because of that. So we must consider our whole lives and everything we do as a sacrifice. All the precious energy that you give to God, it'll all be given back to you. It's not in vain. That's why he's saying it's not going to be in vain. And in another place, in 1 Corinthians, he's writing to the church in Corinth, and I love this verse. This verse literally like changed my life in seminary. I remember my professor said it, and everything just clicked at that moment about 3 years in the seminary when he said this. 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of the last verses in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How many of you you're going to come to Juvie Hall with us this Friday, and we're going to serve at Juvie Hall for 6 hours, and some of you are going to come home and be like, was that worth it? Was that worth giving up my Friday to do that? Are you going to go to Mexico with us and serve the orphanage in a few weeks? You're going to say, was that worth it? Did God see that good work that I did? And then you read this verse, and the Holy Spirit reminds you, your labor is not in vain. God sees every tear, he sees every effort, and all the energy that you chose to use and put for the kingdom of God will be given back to you in abundance in heaven. I love that verse. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor, your work, your effort, your energy, your everything you've given, the worship leaders who come early and practice for you guys, all that energy, all that time that they're not getting paid for, all that stuff is going to be given back to them. It's not in vain. God sees it. God sees it. Everything you've ever sacrificed to God will be worth it. So what do I want you to do in light of this? What does this passage suggest that we do? First thing, know God with awe and wonder. Know God with awe and wonder. Not fear and trembling, because our English translations don't do a good job of what that's really saying. Awe and wonder. Do you know God like that? Do you see him like that? Has he visited your heart and connected with your spirit like that? Where you're like, I want to know God with awe and wonder. You have to work out your salvation with awe and wonder by knowing God first and foremost. And the byproduct of that, when you know God, you know what happens next? You're then able to serve in the world. You're able to serve the world for the kingdom of God, for the advancement of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. When you know God with awe and wonder, you work out your salvation. You do things, because James says faith without works is dead. It's useless. You could say, I have faith, but if you have no good works, your faith is dead. It's useless. It's like you're sitting on the couch, eating Doritos, watching This Is Us 24/7, all 9 seasons of it. How many seasons? 1, 2 of that show? Second season? Okay. All 2 seasons of it. And you're not giving your life away. You're not getting up and actually doing something with the gift God gave you. You're not working out. You're not getting up and working out and serving the world, knowing God. And the byproduct of knowing God with awe and wonder and serving the world for the kingdom of God, the byproduct of that is you will shine like the star that you are. You will. You will shine like the star, like the children of God you are. And we do this because of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. We want to make sure we do this because of FOMO. Now, what do I mean of FOMO? What do I mean by FOMO? I think you guys know, but I have a different really connotation of this, okay? We don't want to miss out on the best of life, on the abundant life that God has given us through Christ. The good stuff, the real stuff, the peace, the joy, the wholeness, the completeness, the unity, the fellowship. We don't want to miss out on the good stuff of life. And if we sit on the couch and eat Doritos and not use the talent we've been given and not use the gift of grace of salvation inside of us, we will miss out on the good stuff. We don't want to miss out on living for what matters most. That's real FOMO. All the other little FOMO stuff, that's like fake FOMO. Real FOMO is not living the abundant life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, but I come to give you life and life to the full, the abundant life. That's real FOMO, is missing out on the abundant life of peace, completeness, wholeness, joy, fellowship, friendship, community. That's the real stuff. That's real FOMO. I don't want to miss out on real FOMO. Hashtag real FOMO. Hashtag ask Pastor Liv. Anyway, that's totally not in my notes. Okay, but next, I want to show you something, because life can knock us down. Life can knock us down. And maybe right now you're in a season where you're just like, man, I am getting my butt kicked and life is hard right now. And you're like, I don't know if I want to get up and use the talent God's given me, use the gift of salvation that God's given me. Well, I want to show you a little video to inspire you a little bit, because this is very inspirational to me, and I'm hoping it'll be inspirational to you.
You lost that fight, Rob, for all the wrong reasons. You lost your edge. Now, when we fought, you had that eye of the tiger, man, the edge. And now you got to get it back. And the way to get it back is to go back to the beginning. You know what I mean? Maybe we could win it back together. Eye of the tiger, man.
See, he was beat up, he was knocked down, he lost his edge. But then Apollo Creed comes and he's like, no, Rock, you lost your edge, man. It's the eye of the tiger, baby, let's go. And they start training, they start working out the talent, because Rocky didn't waste the talent that he had. He was smaller than everybody else. He was less talented than everybody else, but he made the most of it. And I know it's a movie, but there's plenty of guys like that out there in real life. He was smaller than everyone else. Nobody thought he could beat Clubber Lang, but he made the most of what he had. He used everything that God gave him, every ability, every fast twitch muscle. He used it all to do what he was called to do. God has birthed the gift of salvation inside of you if you know Christ. Make the most of it. Use it to the best of your ability. Allow God to help you work it out. It's not you who works it out. It's not by your effort that you're saved. You're saved by grace. You just receive the gift. Even the very next verse, in verse 13, it says, for it is God who works it out for you, essentially, is what it says. It's all God. It's a gift from God, and he gives you the ability through the Holy Spirit to work it out. It's all part of God's sovereignty. It's nothing of our own effort. It's nothing of our own abilities. It's all God. You have the ability. He's installed it inside of you. Activate it. Let it come to fruition. Get off the metaphorical couch in your life and get up and start working out your salvation. Don't let the gift of faith die inside of you. Make it active. Be active and not passive. Exercise this gift. I want you to do me a favor. Just close your eyes as we go into worship here. Just close your eyes. If you don't realize this, that we need to work out what God worked in, maybe your faith isn't real. Maybe you have yet to fully experience God's love. Maybe you haven't really encountered God's love. You haven't accepted God's love. You haven't received God's free gift of salvation, his gift of grace, because of Jesus dying for your sins on the cross, rising again to new life, giving you the freedom to know the holiness of God, the freedom to be free from your sin and the bondage of sin and the consequences of sin that separate us from a holy God. Maybe tonight you don't even have a desire to live for God. And if you don't have a desire to know God, you probably don't know God. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Got their eyes closed. But if you need to know God, if you need to receive Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, to test yourselves. If you don't realize that Jesus Christ is in you, so examine yourselves. Do you know Christ? Have you received his love, his gift of salvation? And maybe you have. Maybe you've already done that, but tonight you just are in a place or in a season where you don't desire God. You met God before, but you don't even care anymore. You're just like, I don't know if what I experienced was real. I don't even know if I care anymore. And if that's you, if you've met God before, you've received Christ before, but you're in a season where you just, you don't really care. You don't desire God right now in this season of your life. That's okay. But you could raise your hand too. Yeah, that's all right. We've all been there. So will you pray with me? God, thank you for everyone here. I thank you for those that raised their hand. I thank you that we've all been in places where we don't desire you for whatever reason, things that are inhibiting our lives, that are crushing us, that we're under the weight of stress or different problems in our lives that are keeping us from desiring fellowship with you, desiring relationship with you, connection to the true vine, the vine that gives us life, vitality, and nutrients to our soul. So I pray that you would fill us with your goodness, your spirit, God, your Holy Spirit would fill us with your presence, your tangible presence, with your peace, and you fill us with awe and wonder as we stand before the holiness of who you are, and we'd see ourselves in the light that you see us. Like stars, we would shine, like the children of God that we are, and we'd get up from apathy, and we'd get up from any other problem we have, and we'd become the men and women you've called us to become. Help us to shine, God. All the things that darken our light, I just pray that they'd be removed. All the chains, all the addictions, all the things that inhibit us from shining like we were meant to shine, I pray in Jesus' name that they'd be cut and removed and broken, that you'd set us free by your Holy Spirit, and you'd continue to allow your love to transform our hearts all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Work out what God worked in.